Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the message of the cross. That's not a new topic, but thank God it's real. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be observing communion here just shortly, and so we want to talk about the cross this morning. I know we've heard that for the last couple of weeks, but you know, I hope you hear about the cross every time you come to church here. Praise God. First Corinthians chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 10. I got it. It says 18 on the screen. Okay, back up 8 verses. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those who are of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. This I say, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your word. I pray that you'd anoint your servant, Lord, to carry your word. Anoint us all, Lord, here to receive God's instruction and righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The message of the cross. It has got the only message that will change people's lives. It's the message the whole world must hear because that's what it needs. Praise the Lord. And Corinth was an immoral and corrupt place, and it had every kind of sin that you could imagine, every kind of sin the devil ever came up with. It was at Corinth. It was the most immoral place on the planet. Amen. It was a modern-day Las Vegas or San Francisco, whichever one's the worst. I could add a few more. New York City. Okay. But anyway, it was an immoral place, Corinth was. And would the preaching of the cross work in such a corrupt society? Were people really going to change here in Corinth? They could change anywhere, but I'm not sure about Corinth. But yet, God did a marvelous work in the city of Corinth. God established a great church there to be a witness to these people that had tried everything there is to try except Jesus. And the message of the cross powerfully got through to all the people there. And it began to prosper, it began to grow, the church began to grow. And yet somewhere along the line, with all the blessing of God on it, pride began to get in the way. And people's focus began to get on each other instead of Christ. And that's a dangerous place. And we back up a few verses, and we find there in verses 11 and 12, you know, some said, well, I'm of Apollos. And somebody else said, so what? I'm a Cephas. Another said, well, I got you all beat. I'm of Christ. Okay? And so there began to be divisions in the church, and Corinth had some problems, some great problems. The reason, and Paul wrote two whole books on it. He wrote three whole books on it, only two of which we've got in Holy Bible today, but it is believed there were three letters, but two was enough if you read it. And so here Paul brings them back to Christ. It's not about who came and preached to you. It's not about who had the greatest gift of preaching. It's not about who had the greatest influence on people, but it's about the message that was preached. It was Christ and the cross. And here Paul brings them back to Christ. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. And so he brings them back to Christ. And how easy it is for people's attention to get away from Christ and get on other things. It's happened to many people in the church world. We're so concerned, you know, about how everything looks in the church. And I'm for keeping things clean and nice. Thank God for cleaning people in the church. Their job is just as important as anybody's in the church. But still, I want to tell you something. It's not about how we look on the outside, but it's about the presence of God and who is glorified in this building. It's Christ we want to focus on. It's Christ that died for our sins. It's Him that rose again from the dead. It's Him that's exalted to the right hand of the Father. And surely it's Him that's coming back again in the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. And here Paul says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And you can look around in society today, it doesn't take too long to figure out what foolishness is. Man, don't look at your neighbor. But foolishness to those who are perishing, Greek word meaning silly, absurd, or foolish. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so it's going to have to take more than what man can produce to get through to his heart. It has to take God and the preaching of the cross. But simple faith in the cross and the blood of Jesus, how could that make such a difference in a society like Corinth? Evil Corinth. Could really the preaching of a simple message of the cross and faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and they had heard of crucifixions, and crucifixions were normal in the Roman Empire. It was a cruel way of execution, but it was common. And people thought of Jesus sometimes, well, that's just one more Jew that was crucified. But no, Jesus wasn't just one more Jew that was crucified. He was crucified. Yes, and he was a Jew. But this crucifixion was different because it would make available forgiveness and atonement for sin, payment for sin, and reconciliation to God where a man could be back into fellowship with God. Amen. And so simple faith in the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To the ungodly who indulge in all passion to the flesh, as the people of Corinth, extremely immoral culture, foolishness reasons away God, eternity, heaven, hell, and judgment. And people today, I'm thankful that we are in the state of much unbelief in our own country here. And people, the average person may not think, well, we're ever going to face God, or we're ever going to answer to God, or we're ever going to, if there really is a heaven or really is a hell. Most people believe there's a heaven. You know, there's not too many people that are less likely to believe in a literal burning hell. But there is one. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But all that turn away from Christ, turn away from God, they'll go there too. And so foolish reasonings to reason away God, eternity, heaven, and hell. People know there's going to be another day. They're going to face somebody in death. But the preaching of the cross seemed like foolishness to the people. Foolish reasoning leads to a fool's eternity. And Psalms 14:1 says, a fool has said in their heart, there is no God. Because I believe that people in some sense or another believe in a God of some sort. And there is really only one true God, but there's religions throughout the world. Wherever you go, whatever country, whatever culture you're going into, they're going to set something up and worship it as God. In the sports realm, people worship great sports figures. But you know, they get old and die too. But you see, it may be seen foolishness to those who are perishing. And to those in the process of perishing eternally. Here they were in Corinth living what the world would call the high life. And money and travel and going places and doing things and being connected with the most important people in the world. They thought that was really something. And immorality was very strong in Corinth. Sadly in the USA today. In Corinth, they were perishing in immorality and indulging in every sin and every shameful thing, and they would die just like they lived unless the preaching of the cross came. Amen. They were perishing. All they meant being living it up in the natural, but in the spiritual, they were in the process of perishing, and they were in the process of perishing eternally. Because you see, what hell will be like is going through the valley of death and never leaving the valley of death, 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 except this death is eternal, called in the book of Revelation the second death. And so Paul would come to Corinth, he would preach the gospel to them. And there's this kind of unbelief today in our society. People making, you know, I've heard that young people are making suicide pacts. And that's just a work of Satan, death from the devil is all that is. And people cutting themselves as if somehow or another wanting attention somewhere or another. I don't know of how to exactly understand that. And I grew up with a knife in my pocket. I still got one in my pocket if you're wondering. I'm not scared of any of you. It's just the way I grew up. But I know what it is to be cut, and it was never pleasant. And I never cut myself unless it was by accident. But you see, people are looking for something because nothing satisfies. Maybe that brings them attention. Maybe that's what they're after. I don't know. But nothing satisfies. What is missing? I want to tell you something, friend. Today, in every society, what is missing is the message of the cross that will redeem people, that will set people free, that will take people from the law away from the law of sin and death and give them eternal life and give them a hope and a future and something worth living for. I want to tell you, God is worth living for. Christ is worth living for. He's the only thing that's worth living for. Let's commit ourselves fully and totally to Him and take up our cross and follow Jesus wherever He leads us. And people persist in unbelief today. They're following what Jesus called the broad path leading to destruction. However, there are some today who get on the straight and narrow, difficult path and head for heaven instead. Praise the Lord. And there are many today that are hoping for the proverbial pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And, you know, if you've got the IQ of a plant, you know that that's not going to happen. I had a child's minister who was in our church when I was a kid, and he had a tie on with a rainbow. And he made a joke because he was a little bit overweight. He said, "My rainbow tie's got a pot at the bottom of it." We all laughed like you did. But many people today are hoping and looking for something that's just not there. And Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Because in the carnal man there is no right way. The right way came with Christ. And Paul came preaching the message of the cross to the people at Corinth. People believed, people were saved, people were sanctified. People, and pardon, let me just insert here, sanctification is part of the message of the cross. Amen. And also, they were being sanctified and delivered from a pagan lifestyle and changed. Matter of fact, in the second letter to Corinth, he said, 5:17, "If therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new." Only God can do that. They had tried everything in Corinth, but nothing was making them new. You say, well, they were happy, they were having a great time. They weren't happy. They were guilty of sin. Nobody's happy when they're feeling guilty. It takes Christ to take the guilt away. He took all of our guilt upon the cross. He suffered for our sins on the cross. Amen. And so Paul preached the gospel of Christ, and these people were involved in all terrible sins. It says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us there some of the sins they were involved in. Paul tells them, it says, no fornicator, idolater, adulterer, homosexual, or sodomite, or thief, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But people were saved out of all of these. They weren't saved to continue on in them. They were saved out of these things. And Paul says to him in 1 Corinthians 6:11, he said, "Such were some of you." Notice the word "were." "Such were some of you." But when the message of the cross came there, here was a response. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen. For a people that were immoral and completely bent into sin and could not be free, but when the preaching of the cross came along, they were set free. Amen. And they were washed, they were cleaned up, they were sanctified, means to be separated from evil and devoted to God. And they were justified, means to be declared not guilty. And so only God could do that because the power of the message of the cross did that for them. Praise the Lord. The good news today is there is another way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way. And the cross isn't foolishness. It may be foolishness for those who just hear of it and never experience it, but it's the way. The cross is a way to help, is a way to hope, it's a way to life, it's a way to peace of mind, peace now and peace forever. It is the way, praise God, through the preaching and the message of the cross. It's the answer to life's crisis. Never vain thing here and bad news that you hear, and most of it's bad that you hear on the radio or the news waves, but there is good news. Christ came. Amen. And the cross is there, preaching of the cross. Not only the cross, we don't even want to leave out the resurrection either. We won't leave Christ on the cross. Rose again the third day. He's victorious. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Praise God. Foolishness to those who are being saved. Let's notice that part. Those who are being saved. And you say, well, I don't know if you're partially saved, half saved. No, you're either saved or you're lost. But we have been saved by what Jesus did on the cross, paid in full for our sins. But we are being saved from the drawings of the world and the flesh and the devil, being saved and being sanctified as we progressively walk with God. And I say progressively, I'm not talking about some stupid Democratic Party. I'm talking party in the democracy. Well, did that help any? I don't think. But I'm talking about walking with God progressively, going on with the Lord. So we're being saved from what this world has to do. Being saved from sin, being saved from the consequences of sin, being saved as we walk on with God. But also we will be saved eternally as we enter heaven. We start this world when we start this road to walk with God by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And so we know it comes by faith. Our faith continues, real faith. It makes a person keep going on in that faith and walking in that faith. It says, to those of you who are being saved, praise the Lord. And we will be saved eternally as we enter heaven. 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay? So those who are being saved. Those who are being saved are those who have made a choice to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Christ. Amen. You're not going to be one of the 12, but you can be a disciple of Christ. And one means the one who follows the life and the teachings of Christ. Matthew 8:28-19, we refer to as the Great Commission. It is, you know. It tells us there, go therefore and preach the gospel, better translated, and make disciples of all nations. So, because God didn't just mean for you to be saved, and that's it. He meant for you to be a follower of Him, a disciple. And that's what a disciple is, a follower of Christ, the life and the teachings of Jesus. Make disciples of all nations. Amen. And so, we see here, to follow Christ is to follow Him, His life and His teachings. And those who are being saved, whose their choice is continual, not just a one-time choice, but a continual, enduring choice. You know, people that are successful in life are people that simply stay with something. Amen. They become better in time as they practice what they do continually over and over. And no, few people learn everything the first time. But they become, like a construction worker becomes better at his job as he continues to work at that throughout his lifetime. A mechanic becomes a better mechanic as he continually works on a variety of different kinds of cars and things. And a lot of stuff go into that. A carpenter becomes a better carpenter as he builds more houses, as he builds more projects, whatever he builds. He becomes better at it. And they become better and better because they continue. Now, as we walk with Christ continually, we don't become more saved and more than we were before. We're justified by the blood of Christ. It's a gift. But as a believer, you become an overcomer as you continue to walk with God. Soldiers become victorious by fighting and experience. They become better soldiers. Parents become better parents by being a parent. You can't just say, I've got this parent thing all figured out, and you don't even have a kid yet. No, you don't. You've got a lot to learn. You got some valuable lessons to learn, quick lessons to learn. Man. Can I use one more illustration on this? Okay. I had a man in my church, the other church that I pastored before I came here, and he had a friend that he worked with, and this friend didn't like kids. His name was Ed. If your name's Ed, I'm not talking about you this morning. I'm talking about the Ed in El Dorado, Texas. But he would just make out, he said, I just don't like kids. I don't want to be a parent. I don't want to get married. And he wasn't married. He said, I don't want kids. They're nasty. They're embarrassing when you're around company. They throw up. They so do you, but anyway. And they're just don't like kids. Okay, Ed, we got it. You don't like kids. But the little town we lived in was El Dorado, and there were no post. Everybody had a post office box, so you went to the post office to get mail. There were no mail routes, nothing. You had a post office box. And so my friend that went to my church, he worked with Ed, so he made up a little sheet, and everybody put their announcements at the post office. And so they made up a sheet, said, quality babysitting done in my home. And they put his phone number. It's a mean trick. Of course, you know, he came to work the next day and said, my phone's been ringing off the wall. People went to babysit their kid. You know, of course, they all act like they didn't know where in the world that came from. What I'm saying is, you got to love kids, but to be a parent, you become a parent by being one, being there for your kids and loving your kids. And as a Christian, you become successful as a Christian as you begin to walk with God and just stay with it no matter what. And believers become victorious by never quitting, never getting up, giving up, but always pushing forward. Paul said to the church at Philippi, I press toward the mark for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not going to let anything between death and life separate me from the love of God. I'm going to walk on with God no matter what. And that's the way we got to be. Foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved. It's the power of God. Amen. Last of all, the message of the cross is the power of God. It is the message because it's a demonstration of God's power. The message of the cross is, wherever this gospel has been preached, souls have been saved, delivered, set free. Amen. And even at Corinth they were. Paul stated to the church at Corinth, chapter 2, verse 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the word of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How did those people get set free from their sinful natures and from their sinful habits? I want to tell you, they came into the power of the cross and the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and God set people free, and God established a church in Corinth, and there were people there who had been as lost could be, but they were found, they were new, they'd found their way to the cross, they'd found their way to repentance, they had found their way to reconciliation with God, and they were on the fire for God, and they were living for God and serving God and walking with God now. That's what God can do, and that's what the preaching of the cross can do. Hallelujah. Not a person that God can't reach. It's the power of God. At Corinth, they didn't go through 12-step programs. The message of the cross did really work. And today we celebrate freedom from sin by remembering what Christ did on the cross. The emblems of communion that we'll take, you know, symbolize the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus. You know, because a great, great price had to be paid for you and I to have eternal life. And Psalms 49:6 tells us, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for them, for the redemption of their souls is costly. And it shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. So redemption is costly. It cost God his only begotten Son. And God gave everything because he loved you and I. Why and how? That's God's kind of love. Amen. Let me end with this illustration. Years ago, quite a few years ago, this came out of the testimony of teen people who have been saved and changed through Teen Challenge Ministries. Sonny, I can't pronounce his last name, Arguinzoni. Now you have an idea. You don't know whether I pronounced it right or not. But he had a drug habit of $75 a day, and back in the 60s, that was big money. And Sonny supported his drug habit by mugging tourists, street businessmen, and the elderly. This is New York City. And the elderly. He'd spend a few months on the street, and then he would go to rehab centers to be dried out. And he'd go through cold turkey, sweating, and shaking, and wishing he could die. You see, he tried every kind of rehab that there was, but nothing could fix what was wrong on the inside. And after his 10th jail term, 10th jail term in 1962, Sonny bumped into an old friend who used to shoot heroin with him. He had become a Christian through Teen Challenge and was preaching on the street. And his friend convinced him to try Teen Challenge, and Sonny went. He said, oh no, again, I have to go through cold turkey, got to sweat, got to feel like I could die and all that. But he went there, and for 2 days, he didn't sweat. Nothing happened as far as his withdrawals of cold turkey. Man. And he didn't get sick or feel pain. And he said, God did for me in 2 days what no doctor, hospital, clinic, or psychiatrist could do in 6 years or ever. That's what God can do. That's what the preaching of the cross could do. Praise the Lord. And so they started a ministry called Victory Outreach, and it became, and they started a church in Los Angeles, and it became known as the Addict Church because there people were getting free. And God took this young man and transformed his life because of the simple preaching of the message of the cross at Teen Life Challenge. And still going on today. And Sonny felt so much for the addict, he would take them into his home. And some of them still went cold turkey because even though they'd come to Christ, were coming to Christ. And somehow or another, God saved many people through that. Because you see, it's not because of who Sonny was or Dave Wilkerson or Teen Life Challenge by name, but it was because of the message of the cross. Amen. And it can still set people free today. There are people that are addicted throughout our society, whether it's with pain pills or drugs of every kind or whatever you can buy or can't buy, or people can create or make. People are addicted to many things. There's only one answer, the same answer it's always been. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are saved, being saved, is the power of God. Amen. God can set people free. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your head with just a moment? Amen. We'll go ahead and ask the ushers or the people that are going to serve the communion to come on forward. But while they're coming, let's just think for just a moment. You're here today and you say, well, I may not be addicted to heroin or meth, but maybe your marriage is in a mess, or maybe your relationships with kids or family are in a mess. I'll tell you something, friend, God can fix that. He's the only one that can fix it, but he can. If you're not saved, you're not on your way to heaven. You don't have peace in your heart that you'd go to heaven if you died today. God can give you that peace this morning. Nobody here can, but God can. We can pray and He will answer. He said, call on me and I will answer you. Amen. Is there anyone here that you'd like prayer for that? You just got something you can't put together. God can put things together the way they need to be. Amen. By the upraised hand, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need God's help on this. I'm facing things I don't have an answer for. Tell your friend, Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. The message of the cross is the answer. Praise the Lord. Amen.